think about a very customer first viewpoint and like, how am I adding value? How am I showing up as the expert? And make sure that those courses are quality. And then if someone were to take it, they would come away and think, wow, this person really over-delivered. And I'm so impressed that this was a $20 course. Like, you want to leave them thinking, this could have been so much more.
This episode is sponsored by the Unicorn Digital Marketing Assistant School's Self-Starter Program. It's perfect for freelancers who are ready to ditch low-paying VA work and step into high-value digital marketing roles. Learn at your own pace, master in-demand marketing skills, and build a business you love that pays well and gives you flexibility. Get started now at udmaschool.com. Hey there, I'm Emily Reagan, and you found the Marketing Freelancer. This is the podcast for marketing freelancers and service providers who are already making an impact behind the scenes and want to take their skills, income, and business to the next level. Here, we're all about embracing the unicorn title, a full-stack marketer who can do it all, strategy, implementation, creativity, and everything in between. We're the magic makers who know how to deliver real results for clients and are ready to rise as sought-after marketing specialists. We're building a business we're proud of, working with dream clients with impact, and charging rates that reflect our work's worth. Unicorns unite.
Hey, I'm Emily Reagan, and I train virtual assistants to be higher paid marketing assistants, the marketing freelancers who are behind the businesses helping grow audiences, nurture those audiences, and sell to those audiences. Here, I'm all about helping you get better with your services, get better at promoting yourself. And today we are talking about how to add a revenue stream into your income, which is selling your expertise on Udemy. I have Elizabeth Hamilton here today. She is talking about how she sold 35,000 plus courses on Udemy. She is a branding expert who created Canva courses, and she's here to talk about how she built this thriving education brand, in addition to the freelance work she's doing. In full disclosure, she is one of our digital marketers work group members. She's a unicorn in herself. She has an incredible background in marketing and branding and is here to teach you how to leverage course marketplace to get more jobs, to book more clients, to start increasing your own visibility opportunities with speaking and guest teaching. So let's jump in to the interview with Elizabeth. Elizabeth, welcome to the show. I am so excited to have you here speaking. You are one of our unicorns in our work group, and you've also had a lot of success selling your courses on Udemy. And so let's have a conversation about how we can help our clients do that, or possibly add a new revenue stream to our own freelancer business. So let's start at the beginning. Tell us about your business and what you do.
Hi, yeah, thanks so much for having me. My name is Elizabeth, and I do a lot of different things, as a lot of unicorns do, and I work in people's businesses as a consultant and a marketing specialist, helping them grow their courses and digital products. But I also thought, if I can do this for other people, I can do this for myself, right? So I have over 35,000 students worldwide in my Udemy courses, and I think Udemy is a cool, like, little best-kept secret that more people should know about.
So for anyone new, let's explain what that community is or what that platform is first. And then I also want to hear about how you started your business.
Yeah. So Udemy is essentially, it's a course marketplace, and it's not the only one, but it is the largest one. Another popular one is Skillshare, though it has a very different demographic. It is significantly smaller. It's well known in the US, but its global footprint is much smaller. There are also a growing number of smaller versions of this idea, primarily out of India. There's so many. Some, I think, are very legit. Some are less so. You got to like do your research on this. But Udemy is for sure the biggest market player.
Okay. What is the difference between that one and Skillshare? Like, which one, me as a US marketer, is there one that I should look at first?
Anyone listening to this show, my gut instinct is you are going to do better on Udemy because it is much more business focused. Skillshare okay. is more craft, hobby, personal development focused, and they will okay. take some kind of crossover courses like Canva that you could use to do your kids' birthday invitation or for business, they'll take some of that, but they don't take what I would call like true marketing as much. It's much more Udemy. Also, Udemy has a very extensive and currently growing business subscription where, for anyone who doesn't know about marketplaces, it's essentially like an Etsy or Amazon for courses. And the benefit of that is that it has built-in traffic, huge, like millions of users worldwide. It has all the same benefits and drawbacks of something like Etsy. There's more competition, but it also has all the hosting, all the customer service, all of that is built in for you. You don't have to do any of it. So all of these platforms have their own specialties, their own markets. I would say Udemy is thriving in what I would call sort of the second world markets, like Brazil, India, parts of Africa, Turkey. Places where people want to learn from Americans, but they're not necessarily people who would buy a like $3,000 higher ticket product from you. So I would say it has a lot of benefits. It definitely has some drawbacks too. It's not for everyone, but the marketplaces are essentially sites that have all of the hosting for you and you're putting your course amongst others and there is that competition, but you're benefiting from the traffic.
Okay, I do want to talk about how we stand out there and how to sell more. But first, tell us what courses are you selling and how does this tie into your current business?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because my background is in branding and my business is called Bonjour Branding. And I did a lot of design work, especially in my earlier days. My focus was more design than it is currently, but I still love design. My first job was in an art museum. I'm an art major. So that visual side has always been something that I loved and had a passion for, and something where I think I had more of a unique market value compared to some other people. Like that was a skill set where I thrived. So some of my most popular courses are on Canva. And the cool thing about Udemy is that you can have essentially series of courses. So whether you teach something business or you just teach something for fun, like guitar, it doesn't have to just be like, oh, I have the one Canva course. I have one guitar course. It can be a series of courses like Canva for social media. I have one that's just on Canva websites because some people just want to learn how to build a website in Canva and how to host it and how to like add pages and all that stuff. And they don't really want all the other Canva for video, right? Like it can be niched down. And the good thing about that is that you can promote your new Canva courses to people who've already taken Canva courses from you. And you have this like built-in audience because they do allow you to have an email list on Udemy. Like there is restrictions. It's not like a regular email list, but I can email all 35,000 students when I have a new course and tell them, oh, this is my new course. You took this one. You might love this now. And that's how a lot of people start to build momentum is that they become known for one topic or like one sort of general area. It doesn't have to be so narrow like Canva. It could be graphic design. It could be digital marketing. It could be all the skills you would need as a freelancer. So you can build up your portfolio over time.
And you can see why that fits in so well to what we do as freelance marketers. I think about my first course, which was an iteration of the Unicorn Digital Marketing Assistant School, but it was me teaching, it started with SEO to my teammates. So they knew how to export file names and have SEO in there and do the alt tags and the meta descriptions and like SEO 101. Obviously that layers up, but it was what I had learned for bloggers and Pinterest. Mm-hmm. And so I know every single freelancer listening here has something you're doing or you're doing well that could transfer to teaching other people how to do it, which is exactly how I got here. Why I have a work group, why I have a course, why I have a podcast is like sharing the services. I like that. I really want to hammer home how like specific you are there because that's how we stand out. It's like the blue ocean strategy. So Canva for you worked really well. Okay. So I have so many questions about how to make it work there. But do you have any advice for someone starting who's thinking about like what kind of course or service could I turn into a course just to kind of like wrap up that topic there?
Yeah, I just want to be very clear that Udemy, I think, has a lot of advantages, but it's not for everyone. And this is the thing I think about branding, right? Begin with the end in mind. You have to get honest with yourself. because I think that we get sold this course creator dream of like, I'm going to have $1 million and it's all going to be take home money
overnight.
And I'm going to be by the pool and I'm going to, you know, work 1 hour a week. And okay, guys, that's not happening. Anyone I know who's making really good money has a team and they're working pretty much full time. And I've worked in businesses where we were selling $1 million a month in courses, but that was a 36 person team. They had multiple salespeople. Like it was an engine. We were spending $800 a day in Facebook ads. Like it was not a casual lay by the pool experience by any means. So like the thing about courses is it can be passive, but once you scale it to a certain point, it is a lot of work. So be honest with yourself because there's no right answer and there's no wrong answer. Would you rather have a much more passive revenue stream as part of a business or your whole business and have all the hosting and all of the customer service and all that stuff done for you kind of through the platform, but know that you are probably going to make less? Like, would you rather have a 5K month that's pretty chill? Or would you rather like hit the ground running, go for that 7-figure business, build that team, like do that thing? If you want that 7-figure business, I do not recommend that you put your course on Udemy because the prices are not as high as if you're selling it directly. And there are a few $1 million instructors on Udemy, but they are few and far between. So if you want that like huge scalable business with ads and like a team and the whole nine, I don't know that Udemy is for you. But if you want to add something more passive and you want something that like you can drop for months at a time and come back to, and it still sells on its own. And it's yes, just like a very like either a chill income stream or something. Like if you're a mom and you want to be able to take the summer off, you can't do that in a big course business where you are running ads every day and like managing people, but you could on Udemy. You're just going to make less per sale and it's not going to be as scalable in the beginning at least. Okay. So I just wanted to mention that. It's like you're giving up a little bit of price for ease.
I think about when I had an agency and then I let everyone go. It was too hard to run. My husband deployed and I said, you can go off on your own. Just take the clients, go. And a couple of the ladies on my team said, no.
Yeah, right.
We don't want to deal with overhead and invoicing
and taxes and
prospecting. And yeah. I was like, I respect that too. So yeah. I think that's like why some people like subcontracting. So this is such a good conversation to have too, because we're always looking for how can we almost double tap into our skills that we've earned. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. I think that this could be a very feasible stream for somebody who has experience and knows what they're doing in the online space and can teach others. So with that said, what are the price ranges of these courses? What are the courses like in length? Like, is there like a magic formula or is it a depends answer?
It can depend. I lean more into shorter courses myself. I like a really tight scope, either in audience or in topic. So it's either like Canva for small business owners, like a tight audience, or it's Canva websites, like a really tight subject matter. So people know exactly what they're getting. There's a big demand for that. There are people on Udemy who do these like mega ultra masterclass type experiences where it's 25 hours of content, and those can sell, but the price point is generally the same regardless of length. It's complicated, so we won't go into like the details, but essentially you do set the price of your own course, okay. But it is in tiers. So you put a tier level for your course and then almost no one pays that actual price because Udemy is a very coupon-based marketplace. You will get Americans in it or Canadians or people kind of maybe closer to who you are, but you will also get people all over the world. So the prices are adjusted in this complicated algorithm based on where the learner lives. In parts of Africa or India, they would sell it for a little less than they do maybe in Europe or the US. So essentially, you are not making as much. Also, one thing that makes a huge difference is if you sell the course through your own link, like you are promoting it on social media or whatever, you get 97% of the price. So almost all of it. If they sell the course for you to internal search traffic or they run ads, you get a smaller percentage of the sale price. So if you really wanted to hustle more and make a little bit more per course, you can be selling it. And I mean, at 3%, that is an amazing amount. Like that is such a tiny amount they're taking for the hosting and stuff. You would pay more to host on Kajabi or something like that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That might easily $200. I was thinking about like the email.
Yeah.
This is essentially an LMS, right? It's a learning management system where people log in and take the course. So that alone, not cheap.
And they handle all the taxes. Like they direct deposit your money and you get one tax statement at the end of the year. So you're not trying to figure out like the taxes in Brazil and the taxes in Rwanda. And like, I don't even know how that would be.
I've actually done research into that for a friend and it opens up a huge can of worms.
I'm like, sure. And the time
overseas.
So all of that is covered. And then and there is a 30-day money back guarantee. So they pay out, I think, 60 days after the sale. So there is a little bit of a lag, but obviously if you've been on for a while, like you're getting payments every month because you've sold. But the nice thing is they handle all of that for you.
Yeah.
And there's two main divisions. You can sell on Udemy and take that same course and sell it anywhere else you want, but you have to disclose that it is not exclusive. That is generally what I do because I've actually had people find me on Udemy and then want to sell that course to their own member organizations or within their own company. And it's kind of like white labeling, but it still has my name on it. So I feel like I've made more not making it exclusive to Udemy, but they also have a business partnership program where you can make it exclusive to Udemy and be in the business partnership program, which for some skills might be better, like things like Excel and certain ones where you use it in a lot of offices. If you have those kinds of skills that are very office friendly, you might want to be in the business program and not sell that same course anywhere else, and you can get more sales. So there are nuances to the platform, but they explain everything for you. And that's one of the things I like about it.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that's lending us the conversation to course licensing, which I actually have April Beach coming on the show to talk about soon. So that's perfect because that's another way to take this course and keep going. Interesting. So what are the price ranges of courses? Because when I think of it, I do think of like cheap courses. And I also wonder, is there like credibility with that? If somebody were to say, hey, I did this SEO course, does that impress our clients?
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because like everything else, everyone brings their own perception of marketplaces to the table. I mean, a lot of people I meet just have never really heard of it either way and have a very neutral sense of what that would be. If you price your course at 120, honestly, you're only going to sell it for like 15 to 20. They are heavily discounted. I think of it more as what kind of course would I make as a low ticket offer? Like what would I make that's the equivalent of a $27 course in a funnel, like a self-liquidating offer? That kind of course is what I focus on. Also, some people bundle their courses, and that's another way to make it like more attractive. They allow you to do that. Like you could have five different specific topics in Canva and then bundle them together and make this like 20-hour Canva ultimate digital marketing masterclass or something. And people will buy that who want all of them. So there's lots of ways to do it. I would say don't plan on making more than $20 per course. Think of it as a low ticket course.
Yeah.
And know that like you're giving them a small piece, and it's definitely more profitable to do five smaller courses than one super large course.
I want to take everything from the work group and put it in there and see what happens.
Probably good.
Because you know, I spend all this effort like doing trainings for the work group, and then people are like, where is the dashboard? Where do I find the replay? I'm like, maybe I should sell these a la carte if no one's going to watch them. And like, this could be a great like experiment if I had a client who had a lot of like one-off little things to experiment with and see like what works. So fascinating.
Course marketplaces are good for visibility beyond just the revenue, because I've had people find me on Udemy out of however many millions of people are on there. And I don't even have any clue, honestly, why they liked me or how or what happened there. And they've hired me to speak at conferences, or they've asked me to put courses together for them, or they've had me do trainings for their company. Because like everything else, right? There's like kind of an 80-20 on Udemy. A lot of instructors never really, they sort of start it, but don't really do it. And then their courses have like 10 people. So if you stick with it and scale and kind of stand out a little bit on the platform, which you can do over time, it is not a race to the finish line. Like you can take years to get to 30, 40. I have a friend who has 100,000 students on there. And wow. Like she was hired by Carrie Green, who runs the Female Entrepreneurs Association, which is a huge company out of England, if people know that, and to be a coach. So it does create visibility and credibility. And those students can leave reviews and you can use them as testimonials. And
yeah,
you know, so there's a lot there. If you're brand new and you've never done a course before and you have no social proof, it's an easier way to get up and running quickly and get that social proof rather than trying to do some complicated like Kajabi or Thinkific setup, not knowing if you're going to ever sell anything. Yes. Like there's no money down on Udemy. You can join for free and post a course for free. They do review it for quality. And if they don't like the audio or whatever, they send it back to you and say, please fix this or that. So there is a review process, but it doesn't cost money. I mean, it costs time, but everything does. So you can really like try out the course life, see if it's for you. And if it's not, like you haven't invested that much in the experience compared to these other things. And I love that I don't have to do hosting. Like they, this whole like lifetime guarantee, because I used to have a ClickFunnels and a Kajabi and like this complicated funnel and it was self-liquidating and there were order bumps and there were like the whole bit. I've done it all. And then I didn't want to keep selling that forever. And I was like, dang, where do I put this course where it's still accessible, but I'm not paying $200 a month? And like all of those headaches, you don't have to worry about.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I love it so much because I just think about the tech stacks that build up and build up. And again, if you're the freelancer doing this, like you don't have time and you're still doing the client work, like this could just be like something you're doing on the side and it's free to sign up, right? You're not paying.
Yeah, it's free. And when I send out marketing proposals for consulting, I use this in credibility all the time. Like, yeah. Hey, I can help you grow your courses. I have over 35,000 students myself. I've worked in these other companies. It just is another thing that you can say, like, oh, well, she must, like, most people don't even really research where are your 35,000 students. Like, they're just like, oh, okay, that's cool, right? So it's a way to build up your own resume and, you know, LinkedIn, social proof for yourself that's free.
Yeah. I mean, I can see the leapfrogging with visibility, and I'm so glad you brought this up because this is such a huge problem with the service providers who are, we're trying to charge more. We're trying to say like, listen, I have the chops. I have the reputation. Like, this is my pay rate. Like I am positioned as an expert. This is what I command. And being able to say that and use it for visibility to get even more speaking gigs, freaking genius, Elizabeth. I mean,
it's cool because you're instead of paying to build visibility, like you're getting paid to build your own visibility.
And then it's so meta because what you learn for yourself, I mean, we talk about this with like, okay, if you're a copywriter, have good copy on your website. If you're a Squarespace designer, have a good, you know, if you are helping clients launch courses and, you know, if you're a curriculum designer or any of that, it can also help with that credibility when it comes to helping the course creators out there and the membership site owners and whatnot.
And this is kind of the next level, but it would relate to this audience is a lot of people on Udemy don't teach just their own thing. They collab. There's lots of collab courses and I'm in some collab courses. So you could, if you were in a group like Workgroup, say, hey, I'm going to do a Udemy course on copywriting. I would love a lesson from 5 different people and they can each contribute one section of a course. So it could be like sales page tips from like top industry experts or whatever. You can kind of position however you want, but it could be on ads and like one person does Facebook ads, one person does Amazon ads, one person does Pinterest ads, because you may not be an expert on everything, but you know there's demand for certain collections of knowledge, or like maybe it's on funnels and you have a copywriter and you have a tech person and you have like an email person, and together you're like, build the perfect funnel with five experts. So it doesn't even have to be all your own knowledge. You can collaborate, and you can actually, they'll split out the revenue for you automatically if you want. And it doesn't even have to be equal. If you want, say, I'm going to take whatever 30% because I'm doing the like uploading and the collaborating, organizing, and everyone else gets 15% or 20% or whatever it is. Or maybe you do split it evenly, or it's 50-50, whatever it is. You can set all that in the back end. They send the money out themselves. It's like so clean.
Oh my gosh. It's like splitting the bill when you go out to dinner with your girlfriends.
But without like the maintenance of, you know, oh, if I do this, is this person really going to send me the money? Like,
yeah.
You know, like you can just set it all up for that, which it obviously opens up the range of what you can teach on if you can bring in other people. I even thought about doing one with my brother because he's a computer programmer and programming is huge on that site. And I don't know anything about that. Think about who's in your circle, right? Like, do you have family members? Like, my mother's a dyslexia specialist. Reading courses sell really well. English for non-English speakers. Like, there's so many things you could do.
How long did it take you to get 35,000 students?
Okay, I'm just going to be really honest because that's just my personality. I am very hot and cold on Udemy, which is why I chose it. I have a special needs child. We have a lot of medical issues. I will like work on it a lot for 2 or 3 months, and then I won't even log in for like 6 or 7 months. So it could have been a lot faster. I have been on Udemy for, I want to say, 3 years now, but there's been huge gaps where I did nothing.
Faster than my Instagram's growing.
Oh, you could get 35,000 students in a year if you want. The main thing about Udemy is that it's a quantity game of, you're not going to get that with one course very often, unless you're okay. Like the first person to ChatGPT. Like, market trends are important, and they post all that data. If anyone has ever tried to sell or like helped clients sell on things like Amazon KDP or even Etsy, you have to buy those expensive third-party softwares like, you know, Seller Samurai and Helium 10 and all that stuff. Then it's like hundreds of dollars a month. They have all of that stuff built into Udemy for free for instructors, and it's called Marketplace Insights. And you can see what's trending. You can go and see like by topic copywriting courses, and you can see how many there are. You can see what the top course earned last month. You can see what the conversion rate is.
Oh my God.
So there's lots of different ways to go in and optimize, and definitely things like trends, like the first person to really get a substantial student base in crypto was making just an absolute killing.
Yeah.
And ChatGPT, when it was brand new, like a year or two ago, like some of those top courses were making like 60,000 a month, but you have to be kind of an early adopter for some of those, obviously. But there's just lots of different ways to optimize if you are into that. But there's also ways to just put up something pretty evergreen, like copywriting, like Canva, and you really don't have to babysit it. You can use course coupons to promote it. So there's lots of different things you can do, but it's pretty hands-off if you don't want to do any of that.
What do we have to do to actually grow it? You're saying like, oh, I put work into it and then I stopped, which is music to my ears. I mean, I feel like, you know, as a mom, summer in general, right? We talked about that, like not being able to go full force, or, you know, I don't know, so many freaking orthodontist appointments right now. Like,
yes,
I don't have a full work week.
Right.
So what does that work look like that you're talking about?
Or like even for freelancers, like, oh, my client load is a little lower than I want right now. I can build this up in my time. You don't have to think of it as much of like a dead zone. Cause I know, I know, like for me, it's like, oh, I have a ton of clients this month and then some are lower.
They're launching and then they're not. And then
quieter months, you could use that time to do this. I would say there's two main things. There is just creating new courses and growing your course library is one way that you're putting in work.
Okay.
And then there's a whole coupon system, and I can explain that to anyone who wants to know, but essentially you can use coupons to promote your courses at either a discount or free, either way. So if you need, a lot of people do free coupons to get momentum early on in their course, like to get your first 100 people or whatever, and get some kind of social proof rolling on the algorithm. And then if you get enough people in early and they're leaving good reviews, then you get a little badge that's like hot and new. And then if you're a hot and new course, you sell, like, you trend better. Because it is an algorithm just like Amazon or any of these places.
I was going to say like Amazon Books. Yeah, for
yeah. sure. So it's like you're a top rated course in copywriting, then you're going to have evergreen sales. If you're the, you know, 400th result for copywriting, you're not going to sell at all. So it is a little bit about keeping your rankings going. The more you have new students coming in who are leaving reviews, the more you're going to stay higher in the ranking. You can also just like refresh your sales page, which they have a sales page built in and you just put in your copy and everything. But it does say the course like was last updated on, it'll say the month and the year. So like 125, which that's actually a whole nother strategy, is just finding really popular courses that are still selling that haven't been updated in years. I was looking the other day, the top one for proofreading hasn't been updated in 4 years. So some of those courses are easier to unseat as like the top one because you know this person's not maintaining anymore. Versus some will be like, oh, this guy just updated last week. So he's still into this and on top of it. But you can go through and find outdated courses and just redo them essentially. Like not copy the content, but take that topic, put your own spin on it, make it fresher. Put 2025 or whatever year in your title, like proofreading for 2025 with AI instructions or something.
I mean, this is like SEO Google ranking tricks right now.
Right. So going in and just updating your courses is like one way you could keep them fresh. As you can see, like all of this is very on a like has time basis. Like you don't have to update it. Some of them still sell and they're 4 years old. Obviously, some topics
are more timeless, right?
Yeah. And like, you know, if it's, you know, updates to certain software, no one's going to buy it if it's 4 years old because it doesn't feel timely anymore. Yeah. So it just, you know, depends. Like guitar lessons probably doesn't need to be updated very often, but people do like a more updated course because it just feels like the instructor is more engaged, even if the topic is pretty evergreen.
Yeah. And I think about why like some YouTube videos are disappointing. Like you're Googling how to do something specific. Mm-hmm. It's 12 years old. It doesn't actually show you the certain situation that you have or how to do it. And so there could be such like a get for that. I'm like, my brain's like firing like crazy right now, but like, I wonder how like too small and too specific, you know, like one of my best YouTube videos right now is how to create a fillable PDF.
Oh yeah.
Would that sell?
I think that is too specific. And that's an interesting point because I tell this to people a lot since I do a lot in digital products. Information is commoditized. And what I mean by that is just like a fact or a simple how-to has so much less value than it did 5 or 10 years ago because of sites like YouTube or Reddit or AI, any of it, right? So you do need a micro transformation to have a valuable course. And I do think that's a pitfall that people fall into in large $4,000 courses and in small courses. The quality does matter. Like people will leave you scathing reviews if you just put up something super half-hearted that is clearly just from a ChatGPT that you don't really know anything about and it's very generic. Like the better the quality, the better the course will have longevity. Okay. And you need that like little transformation, I think, even in a small course. So maybe it's not fillable PDFs, but it's like how to create a lead magnet. And like that's one of the lessons or something. And you maybe call that out for SEO purposes because you know it's popular. But I think you do need that like start and finish point. So that people feel like they got more than they would from a YouTube, but it doesn't have to be a like life radical transformation.
Yeah. I'm just thinking like if most of them are, let's say $20, they're probably less than an hour. You have space for a couple lessons in there if you wanted. You probably could just have one, depending on what it is too, and still get a transformation. So yeah, I don't know what that is for me, but I was just like flashing to my top YouTube videos and thinking about what is even ranking over there or like why I get disappointed or what I would be actually willing to pay more money for beyond YouTube. And so I think that's really important.
there is a hands-on component. Like okay. You can do projects and quizzes and stuff. Ooh. And then you can provide feedback if you want.
Okay.
You don't have to. For coding ones, you can do like coding quizzes. So there is a sort of interactive component you can utilize.
All right.
Some of mine do, some of mine don't. And that can add value and separate it from just a YouTube.
And you can get a certificate of completion as well, right? Is that something you're approving or is it just like, okay,
some do. I do not do any certificate courses.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, because I've seen some people like come to us in the work group and we always are like, what programs have you taken before? And usually people are like, I wish I would have met you before I signed up for that stupid VA course. But I am starting to see more like digital marketing. And I'm like, well, what is that? What does that even mean? Like, that's such a broad topic. And I can tell it's, a Udemy course. So I'm just kind of wondering like what that credibility point is. Okay. I want to go back to, and I just really want to hammer this home, like leveraging the marketplace for you getting clients, speaking opportunities and new clients. Is there anything we need to bake into our profile or our lessons or our follow-up to make that jump to getting booked out for those like higher visibility, more authority places? Like, is there anything that like a newbie should just start right away doing so we can have it pay off in a year or two or three?
Okay, real quick. If you've been DIYing your freelance career and feeling stuck in that general VA zone, I've got something for you. The Unicorn Digital Marketing Assistant School Self-Starter Program is your roadmap to becoming a legit marketing pro without waiting for a live cohort or trying to piece together old YouTube tutorials. Inside, you'll learn practical digital marketing skills that clients actually pay for, like email marketing, funnels, content strategy, SEO, and more. Plus, you'll get tech training, portfolio projects, and swipeable templates to help you land premium clients faster. It's designed for freelancers who want flexibility, freedom, and real income. Whether you're a military spouse, a mom juggling nap time, or someone finally ready to bet on herself. If you're ready to stop dabbling and start sending invoices, head to udmaschool.com, udmaschool.com to enroll now.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I think that really goes back to quality, which we were just talking about, is don't think about it as, oh, this is only worth $17 or this is worth $20. Because also I think we need to have, well, this is just sort of my worldview, but like compassion on the fact that $20 is a lot more to the people paying it. Like some people who are buying these courses, that's actually like a significant investment for them. And think about a very customer first viewpoint and like, how am I adding value? How am I showing up as the expert? And make sure that those courses are quality. And then if someone were to take it and they would come away and think, wow, this person really over delivered. And I'm so impressed that this was a $20 course. Like, you want to leave them thinking this could have been so much more, and that you're putting yourself out there in a high quality way, not that sort of, I don't know if race to the bottom is the exact opposite, but don't think, oh, it's only XYZ cost. Yeah. So I only have this like low baseline. I like think you want to be putting out content that you're proud of and that represents the caliber of the expert and person that you are, because it's out in the world and you don't even know who is finding it. And the better the quality, the better the opportunities you're going to get off of it, like anything else. So don't think of it as like something throwaway, but think of it as like, I'm putting my best work out there. And I even kind of think of it a little bit as like a social justice mission. Like, I had a coding school in, where was it? Nigeria. Find me on LinkedIn and ask if they could get a coupon for one of their instructors, because they taught like orphans in Nigeria how to get off the streets with like more modern skill sets. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it was a scam. They sent me like all their stuff and their website and like this whole thing on like how they were legitimate. And I was like, you can have any of my courses for free. Just tell me which ones you want and I will send you coupons and all of you can have it. Cause it's like, it's $10 for me. Like, it's fine. And if you are seriously teaching orphans in Nigeria how to stay safe on the streets, like, more power to you. That is an amazing calling. So, like, think of it as giving knowledge to people who need it and knowing that if you give generously, I do think opportunities will come back to you.
Oh my God, that's like the whole nature of my business and why I even started helping people, like to empower them to go make their own money and do their own thing. So that was beautiful. To switch it into marketing and business, how can we make sure we get those glowing reviews and those testimonials? Is there like a secret trick within that system?
I don't think there's a trick. A lot of people take a lot of courses. I do think you need to be on camera somewhere. That's a controversial viewpoint. I do not record most of my lessons with camera just because I like to be able to switch them out later because it is a long game course. If I do a Canva course and then they change, you know, how you take the background out or how the layers work, I want to be able to just slot in a new lesson, even if my hair is shorter or like I've gone gray or whatever's happened in my life. Like, I like
20 pounds skinnier.
Yeah. But I do like to do a few lessons with face to camera, because I think people do like that personal connection and to really have a picture of who they are teaching. So I think it's important that you do some. I know people who do entire courses with nothing, like no face to camera. I don't know that that creates the same loyalty for you as an instructor. Right. The thing about it is like the quality range on Udemy is huge. I have taken amazing courses on there. And then there's some where you're like, I don't know how this sells at all. So it's a range. And the good thing, I think, though, is like you don't have to be a complete like Jenna Kutcher or James Wedmore type expert to get on there. Like you can, it can be your starting point. And no, you can also always take classes off. If you do it and you start and then 3 years from now, you're like, oh, this first class is kind of embarrassing. You just unpublish it and it's still in the system for people who previously bought it. They can access it. But like you can take it off of the marketplace for selling, or if like the software closes or who knows, right? Like stuff happens. Maybe this certain strategy isn't as applicable anymore, or like
meta ads changed again.
Yeah, right. Whatever it is, like you can take stuff off too. So it's not like you've given your soul to them. So you can always take it off and then, or take it down and rework it and then put it back up. So you have some flexibility around all of that. But I would just say that, think about putting your best work out there and knowing that it's going to live there a long time. And the more you can show up genuinely, there is one bonus lesson at the end of each course. You're not allowed to promote throughout the course because they don't want it to just be like a sales
pitch. I'm going to ask this question next.
Yeah. So at the very, you're allowed one bonus lesson, and how almost everyone does it is a PDF download that has links like affiliate links, or ways to get in touch with you. Because there are rules, like you need to read the rules about what you're allowed to do or promote or say, because they do have guidelines to where it's not just like spammy and gross when you buy courses, which makes sense. Because as a user
or a webinar sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I've bought courses on there that I'm glad they were great. I needed the content. And even sometimes when I've taken on a client and I wasn't 100% sure on like, oh, I'm good at all these things, but she also wants WordPress, say. And maybe I know Kajabi and Wix and some of these, but I don't really know WordPress. I've bought Udemy courses for just a kind of a quick fill-in on knowledge. So that's another way to use the platform, is if you have a client and you need a little refresher on one specific thing, you can always buy it. But anyway, there's a bonus lesson. And in the bonus lesson, you are allowed to promote your sort of wider ecosphere of where you are or your podcast or affiliate links or different things like that. So that's where people make the bigger pitch.
Okay. Thank you. You like almost answered every question I had already, because you can see where my brain's going with that. Okay. So to wrap this up, if I were an established freelance marketer wanting to start with some courses, do you have any, you know, insight for how to get started from scratch? Knowing it's a long game, knowing that we're unicorns, we will always provide excellence. We will always go above and beyond. But is there anything that I need to know to get started? Like one question that comes to mind is like, when you release a podcast, you're supposed to already have so many episodes after the trailer. Is there anything like that that we need to know?
I will say, and this is interesting because I was actually talking to my husband about this the other day. One thing that's a little challenging is it is a little bit like Facebook or Amazon where there are quote unquote experts, but they're giving you sort of their best assumptions slash what they've seen worked, but they don't actually know the truth of the algorithms. Or like Google's that way too, right? If you have a Google SEO expert, like they're showing you what has worked or what they think works, but they don't actually work for Google and have factual information.
We never really know.
Right. And so Udemy is the same way. And I would just be totally honest about that. If anyone asks me questions about Udemy, like I can share what has worked for me and I know other people who teach on there and what like sort of the common zeitgeist is around what works. But only people who truly work at Udemy know the truth of the algorithms and like exactly what's happening behind the scenes.
Favors like, under the table. No.
And I don't even know if they're allowed to teach. I don't know how that works. It is a US-based company. They're in San Francisco. Everyone is giving you their best insights or opinions. And I would say is like there are a lot of things about the platform that are kind of unique to it. And you are bringing all the general skills you need for a course, any kind of course, right? Like you need to know how to write a landing page. You need to know how to structure your content. Like all of those skills are in play. But I would say if you are interested in Udemy, I would get in touch with someone who teaches on Udemy who can kind of show you the ropes. And that could be as simple as a YouTube video. There are YouTubes on like how to get started. I would stay away from anyone who promises you thousands of dollars in weeks because I don't, I haven't seen that work for lots of people. But there's also courses on Udemy about how to teach on Udemy, which can be great. And just kind of find someone who's doing it and can tell you what's working now, what's up to date, just like any of the other platforms. It has its own nuances.
That's amazing. So how does all of this fit into your business and what you're doing with clients now?
Well, I really like specializing in course creation. I think that if you are thinking, oh, I don't have anything to share, I really do think that everyone has something that they can teach, whether it's business or if you're newer, like there is probably something else. Maybe you're a homeschool mom. Maybe you have an amazing knack for sourdough. Like you don't have to think about it as just business. Like you have a skill that people come to you and ask you questions about something that you know, somewhere where you're an expert. And I love helping people share their expertise. I like the whole science of instructional design, creating a course that really does value, because courses get such a bad rap sometimes of being fluffy and people don't finish them, but they can also be so helpful. And it's a huge industry that is still growing. I also think the economy is weird. Some of these high ticket stuff is getting harder to sell, but like these lower ticket, like they are still thriving. There is still huge demand for these lower ticket ones. So it's very recession proof. And I am just kind of slowly growing my own income stream to create steadiness amongst clients, because just like you, like I like having that cushion and that flexibility to take time off at the holidays or whatever and know that money's still coming in. And that's actually another thing. Udemy can be very seasonal. So I also want to throw that out. Like they do a ton in the fall and winter. Summer is typically a little bit slower. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just like if you know someone who does it, it helps you manage those expectations that if someone joined in October and like got on with Black Friday and there's a big new year, new you kind of push.
Okay.
Tons, like November and January are the highest months on the platform for everyone. So like someone might have joined in October and been like, my first 5 months on Udemy, I made XYZ. And then you might have a different experience if you joined in May, but it's not that you're doing it wrong. It's just that the platform sells a lot more collectively in certain parts of the year. So, you know, like knowledge is power. And the more you know about it, the better you can manage your expectations and create the results that you're looking for.
Yeah, it is managing those expectations. What we do in the online space, like you said, we have all these promises out there, all the passive income streams. And I was just telling my friend the other day that like, even that's like becoming old news, you know, like that used to sell and make people, you know, millions. And that's not even working because we see, oh my gosh, there's so much to unpack there. But
oh, and someone is just kind of spammy and you're like, all these like weird YouTube ads where it's like, I made $7,000 a day with AI. And you're like, what?
Oh my God. But there's also this thing for the freelancer or the person who's at work in a 9-to-5 right now, starting their own side business. And like, this could be like a quiet little corner to get going. Like, I can see that working for a lot of my listeners who tell me like, I don't want my job to know I'm doing this. Yeah. So I feel like it can get you out there doing the marketing and doing the work. And I mean, like the street cred, when you told me you had 35,000 subscribers, like my mind or students, my mind just like, I mean, I was so impressed by that. And I think about, like Elizabeth knows what she's talking about. She's done that. And now I trust her for branding or for the help I need in my own business for launching my course or, you know, like it all comes together beautifully. It's such a good way to get that hands-on practice. So thank you for sharing this. I'm so glad we had this conversation and talk about, I just want to help more people make more money, you know, very realistic, and use their good to make a better world. And maybe my next course is how to play Mahjong.
Yeah, totally. I would take that. I want to learn. That's actually a great example of like,
everyone keeps telling me they want to learn. I'm like, it's such a complicated game and there's like different rules. I'm like, maybe I should do that. And like, you know what? I actually had a conversation, let me tell you something, with a very big name. I won't say the name, about the thing they were doing on the side that was the passion. And I saw this person light up about it. This was that social media marketing world just last week, lighting up about this thing nobody knows they're doing. And it was completely tied to helping other people and faceless teaching. And that's why I'm like, this conversation just feels so good for that reason.
And the thing is, you can do both eventually. Like you could do a bunch of Canva courses and add on a Mahjong. And like, there's no rules against it. Like the first time I heard about it was from someone, and that was her whole thing was like the no niche online business because she was very multi-passionate. And like, if you want to explore multiple things, like you want to do photography and Mahjong, like you totally can, which is kind of fun because I do think there's so many rules around a lot of businesses of like niche down, stay in this lane, be the expert. This is a lot more forgiving. You can also try things out and be like, did I like it? Maybe not. Maybe did. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. I like as a user, you're like, oh, I can test this out and see if I like it and not spend a whole lot of money. You know, like maybe I want to dabble in ads or I like YouTube ads, LinkedIn ads are all very hot right now. Like if you could get in on that and there's not a lot of, you know, updated courses. So, okay. A little bit of a lightning round. What's the last course that you bought?
Oh, I just bought one on instructional design because I want to get more into the science of how to make a great course and like the models. Because I see so many people where I work in their business where they are knowledgeable coaches and experts, but they have a hard time translating that into a really cohesive and intuitive course. So I'm learning more on that side.
Okay, well, we need to talk. I just hired somebody for my client to work with an instructional designer. He's having that problem. And I have nothing to sell right now because it's just kind of gone beyond what I can do and the scope of our agreement anyway. And so knowing you do that is just amazing. But yeah, I think that's how people are going to stand out in this economy.
I agree. And in the world where there are more and more courses, like quality will rise to the top.
Yeah. And I was thinking about, I did a course audit for a client a few years ago and I kind of had to go back and tell her, I was like, this isn't great. Like we need to change this and this, and you're not even in it. We don't even know. Like you have to kind of assume the audience might be a little cold and new to you.
Yes.
And so you have to find ways to bake your authority and your credibility into even the intro. And what is the learning objective here? And how is this different than your free content? And it just was like, wow. I was like, this is actually not something I want to go super deep in, but I could see it happening. All of that is going to make a difference. And I can see it be even more amplified on a platform, a marketplace platform, where people really don't know you and they're making very fast first impressions.
Well, and I have such a branding background. So it's also like, how do we infuse that brand story and the brand values and who we are into our course in a way that differentiates?
Yeah, you have an edge there. That's beautiful. Okay, Elizabeth, where's the best place to connect with you?
Well, you can find me on Udemy, obviously. You can also find me on LinkedIn. I'm Elizabeth Hambleton, or at elizabethhambleton.com. And those are my places. I don't really do social media because I sell on Udemy. So if you hate Instagram, maybe this is for you.
Everybody who's like, I hate social, is like, okay, we'll go sign up for our account now. And of course, like, if you guys have questions about coupons, courses, if your client needs help getting up on getting their course built, getting their course loaded into the right learning management system, or building a Udemy audience. I like that, because it's like not the pressure of social. It's like, okay, this quiet right. little thing. Reach out to Elizabeth. She's also a member of our Digital Marketers at Work group. And while you're here, could you just tell us why you joined the work group and what you love about it?
Oh my gosh, I almost sent you a box the other day to be like, I love work group. Like, legit, I almost did. And then I was like, I probably shouldn't bother you. I think it's such a combination of things. I like the consistency of the group, and that people are, they show up regularly, like to the calls, like you see a lot of the same faces and people mm-hmm. are invested, because so many groups are so big, like ones that come with courses, that you're like, oh, there's 7,000 people in this. I don't meet anyone. It's always different people, you know, so there's not that real community. People are kind of in and out. I like that this is a group that does feel more steady and you can really get to know people. I've been trying to DM more people to just be like, hey, I loved your comment on the call, like kind of getting to know people more one-to-one. But I also think that the trainings have been so good recently. Like, I have loved the AI ones recently. They go deeper into those topics that aren't just like, oh, basic prompting, but like, what else is new? What's the current edge? And just like having a place where you can ask questions and like, oh, my client did this, or this came up in a business, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know of anywhere else where you can get that kind of feedback. And just everyone's so well-intentioned. Like, I really feel like if you're like, I need help, people answer, which that is invaluable.
It's not like a shark infested gatekeeping area. And I like try to, when you're talking about like, oh, we do quality, we all give our best, I'm like, that's a given with my people. And yeah. It's like the unicorn mantra here of abundance and seeing our own special worth and how we're different and it doesn't need to be competitive.
No, for sure. Even like I'm doing a pro bono thing with someone because I used to run a food pantry and she needed help with her food pantry. So it's like, it doesn't even have to all be about work. Like,
and I helped her with a press release template. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. So it's just like, I don't know. I like that it's groups, like people that are doing cool things, trying to be a good person, helping each other out. Like, so many people have been like, you know, like, I'm pregnant, what do I tell this client about, you know, what to work in the future? Like, things that are kind of personal that you're not just going to put on social media. Like, hey guys, you know, like, I need help with this, right? Like, it's just where you can be, I think, a little vulnerable, like this mistake happened or this thing happened. What do I do? What are my next steps? And it's such a range of people, some who are very specialized, some who've been in the game a long time, some who are newer. So I think there's kind of a skill set for everyone.
Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing, that it's a range?
Oh, I think that's a strength.
Tell me more.
Because, so I've been freelance essentially for over a decade, but that doesn't mean that I'm not trying new things. And so a fresh perspective on someone who just started something is, I think, so valuable. Because look at something like YouTube. If I had been on YouTube for a decade, what worked for me 10 years ago is not going to work today, because maybe I have a million subscribers at this point because I was one of the first people on YouTube talking about this topic, right? But whereas, like, if someone else is like, oh yeah, I'm just starting this too, I think it brings that fresh perspective. I just saw something about this. This guy was talking about smelly couches, and that if you ever like walk into a house and people live, or like with pet odor can be the same thing, they live with it and they can't really tell, and then someone else walks in and they're like, dude, your couch is funky. And it's, he said that like in a business you need that new person to tell you your couch is smelly, that like people who've been there forever have a certain perspective, and that totally has value. But also mm-hmm. people who come in fresh from different industries, from different experiences, from like all kinds of different places, like that's also valuable. And they might have a much more current sense of what corporate wants right now, or what this type of business is doing, because they were just in that business. I haven't been in a business full time in over a decade. So like in that way, that part of my knowledge is outdated, I would say. So yeah. Like people are bringing different skill sets.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. Thanks for being on the show, sharing all of your insight into building courses online and having another revenue stream. We'll see you over on LinkedIn.
Perfect. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks for joining us on the show, everyone. Check out Elizabeth's contact information all in the show notes. Please reach out to her, ask her any questions you might have about Udemy, which I always want to say Udemy. Apparently, some people do call it that. I will always call things wrong. But this could be something very meta you do for your business or you help your clients do. Maybe they have some small one-off courses. And I just hope that it helps you grow in your own business. I hope it helps you book more clients and really see the power of the services that you've mastered. If you are doing it for clients, if you've done it more than once, you can always go and reach back and help other people, grab their hand, teach them how to do it. It will just be a better place in this freelancer world when we help each other. I really like this idea of leveraging course marketplaces for growing your own social proof as a freelancer. I think it's very brilliant. It seems easy to start. And there are so many resources out there to give you the headway over on Udemy without the hassle of tech, customer service, course marketing, and all of that, though. It's hard to do when we're juggling our freelance work, our business, and our families. All right, I'll see you on the next episode. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to The Marketing Freelancer. If you're ready to connect with other marketing freelancers, learn advanced strategies, and take your business to the next level, check out our Digital Marketers Workgroup. It's my exclusive membership where you'll find the support, community, and tools to land premium clients and grow your income. Visit marketersworkgroup.com to learn more or just use the link in the show notes. Apply today. Step into your power, own your expertise, and command the rates your work deserves. See you next time on The Marketing Freelancer. Unicorns unite.
I'm totally doing wet hair today.
Go for it. Live your best life.
Today we are talking about, oh my God, Elizabeth, you know I'm going to mess up Udemy.
I hear Udemy the most.
Udemy, right?
Udemy, yeah.
Elizabeth, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to talk about Udemy and how we can help sell, and how we can sell more courses. Let me get it together.